Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace and blessings, love and light, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I'm a minister, spiritual life coach, holistic nutritionist, author, and founder of Redefining You LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. And welcome to the show. If you are new to the How Now podcast, welcome in. Make sure that you go to my website, www.hownowpodcast.com. Pick your favorite podcast platform and be sure to like, follow, and share. You can also scroll down to the bottom of the page and it'll take you to the banner for this week's show. And if you click on that banner, it will take you to the How Now YouTube channel, where you can like, follow, share, and subscribe. And make sure that you hit that notification bell so you always know what's happening in the now. And again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. Okay, so let's into tonight's show. And if you've been following my show for a while, my guest may look a little familiar. He was actually here when my show was just starting out, fledgling show back, you know, in about almost 2.5 years ago. My guest was here, you know, talking about a very important topic. And we were talking about estate planning. And that was something that was so critical during the time because we were heavy into the pandemic and we were talking about people who were, you know, unfortunately coming to an untimely death, and people were not prepared. And we really want to talk about estate planning and the importance of that. And things are still happening. We're still in that stage. We're still in the stage of you know, people needing to be more prepared for the things that are coming. And then if you are a Gen Xer like myself, you know, we have people who are taking care of aging family members. And so there's some importance that is taking place there. So there are a lot of things that have changed since then in those last 2.5 years. So before we get into the weeds of all of that, I'm going to do what is customary with the How Now podcast and have my guest to introduce himself again at this time.
Thanks a lot, Kim. I'm so glad to be back. And yes. Glad we made it through that stage, right? Because we got to thank God for that. Yes. So I'm Keith Miles. I guess if I'm going to say the first thing, if I'm going to align myself right, I'm a disciple of Christ. So that, you know, that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Got to start with God, father, husband, and then attorney, state planning and elder law in Georgia and North Carolina. And just feel like my purpose for doing what I do comes from God. He put me in this position, and I'm trying to educate not only my community, but just all community, because we all need it. Yes. And my particular focus in elder law is kind of what you mentioned, focus on life planning, because so many people want to focus on what if I just, you know, have some accident happen and I just drop dead at a heart attack. And obviously we've got to prepare for that. But, you know, what happens if you live till 80 and your money run out, and, you know, we got to prepare for that too. So we tried to look at everything, and I'm a certified elder law attorney, and there's only 12 in the state of Georgia, and I'm the first person of color, of any color, to get it. So that was awarded this year in May, so thank you. So I'm very excited, and I kind of want to push a lot of the topics out there in a way that I feel only I can, because I have a unique perspective from the other C-list. So
that's right.
I'm thankful for this opportunity. So thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Well, first of all, like I said, congratulations on being the first. Okay, come on now. We need that. And I think that is something that is so prevalent in our community as African-American individuals. And it's something that we don't talk about. And it's something that we, you know, have been a little lax in, you know, planning for. And, you know, it's unfortunate that sometimes we wait until something happens before we start to move. And we really have to be a little bit more proactive in the things that we're doing. And so, you know, you have some people who are not familiar with the term estate planning. So just talk briefly about what estate planning actually is, because some people, when they hear estate, they think it's after somebody passes away and it's just there, they have an estate, you know, and they're not really clear on what that means. So
that's part of the frustration that I have, is people think they don't need to do it because they don't have an estate, or think that they don't have enough for an estate. So I want to start where you started, the right place. Let's define what an estate is and what estate planning is. So we actually always have an estate. So even if I, you know, am alive, I have an estate. So people don't think about that. They also think of estate as what we call probate estate. But there's a different estate. Even if I'm alive, say I become incapacitated, I get Alzheimer's, and someone has to handle my financial affairs, someone might need to go to court and get a conservatorship. That is also a conservatorship estate, right? So you have an estate while you're alive. You have an estate after you pass away. And basically, estate's just all your stuff that you control in any way, shape, or form. So if you have a property, you have a deed. You know, so I know there's, especially in our community, we got a lot of people who want to do real estate. You got those deeds, that's part of your estate. If you have an LLC or S Corp, because I know we got people out there forming their entities and trying to do their thing, your member interests or your shares, they're intangible. You can't put your hand on them, but you control them. That's part of your estate. Your children, even though they're separate people, you are a parent, especially if they're a minor. We need to know if something happens to you, where do they go? Right? So, that is especially a big concern for single parents, because they may not have a good relationship with the other parent, and they worry about what happens there. So I have to explain that. The only way you can make those plans is in a will. So even if you don't plan for your property, your money, you need to plan for your children. IRAs, 401ks, we know there's big money in that. We save up all the time. Those beneficiary forms that say, when I pass away, pay to so-and-so, that's part of your estate planning. Life insurance, bank accounts. Most people have bank accounts in their own name if they're single or, you know, divorced. Right. If you pass away and you don't have a form, all those funds become frozen. Your family can't access the money. Who's going to pay the bills while they process your estate? That's all the things that we talk about with estate planning, is coordinating all those things. All right, if something happens to me, this is what I want to happen. Some of that is by the will, because a will, and this is why I want to make sure people understand, a lot of people don't understand what a will is and what it does and the limits of it. So a lot of people think, if I get a will, that's all I need. I heard I need a will. A will is just your direction to the court. But you got to go through a court in order for that direction to happen. So a lot of times people come and they're like, I'm trying to avoid mess with the family. Somebody before died and I don't want to have all that mess. I need a will. Well, you might have that mess because a will has to go through the court, and that's where all the mess starts.
So, right.
So they don't understand that the thing that they're trying to avoid, that they're asking for, may actually lead to that thing. So that's when we start talking to people about trust. Trusts are outside of the court, but people think in their head, trusts are for wealthy people.
Right.
So I don't need a trust because I don't have enough for a trust. A trust is not about how much you have. If you got 60,000, that's your 60,000. You want to make sure it goes where you want it to go. You can have a trust for it. You got 160,000, 660,000, 3 million. All those people can have a trust, because a trust just says, here's what I want to happen and here's who I want to manage it. So that's what we try to talk to people about, is making sure they understand all these different pieces have to be coordinated. So if I do a trust or a will, but I had an IRA that says pay it to my siblings, and I got, say I did that before I got married, that's going to pay to my brother or my sisters and not my spouse, because I didn't update that form. So that's part of what we talk to people about. It's like, it's not just the documents we draft as attorneys. We have to coordinate. We have to look at things and make sure, hey, you got a problem here, because you have these old things that might do things that you don't anticipate. So that's really a lot of what we talk about. And that's all estate planning. Focus on when you pass away, we talked a little bit earlier about people taking care of their elderly parents. That's elder law, yes. Right? So that's yes. another aspect. That's not if you pass away. That's, okay, if your parents get older, they saved up their money all their life, they have a house that you may have a desire to inherit after them, and they might want to pass on to you.
Right.
But if they get sick and they have to go into a nursing home or need care at home, and it's $8,000, $10,000, depending what country, part of the country, $14,000, $15,000 a month. Well, they may have started with $400,000, but if you go on, you know, a nursing home for 24 months at $12,000 a month, that's all pretty much going to be wiped out, you know? So that's what we talk to people about too, is, all right, we can't just talk about you having some accident. We're going to assume you live a nice long life. So let's plan for that. And you mentioned it's sometimes the parent that comes and says, I'm the older person who's planning. Sometimes it's the child who's saying, oh, I realize I got to take care of mom or dad, and I got to, you know, take care of myself. I'm looking at my kids trying to finance their tuition and college, my retirement, parents, you know, long-term care. And we call that the sandwich generation. So that's a lot of times the people coming to us are the people in their 40s, 50s, 60s are like, I got to take care of myself, but I can't take care of myself. I got to take care of my kids. And now I got to take care of mama. How do I coordinate all this? Because I expected to get an inheritance to try to help me. But if I don't get anything from the parents or plan, then that's not going to be there. So we have a lot of things to talk about with people.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of overlap that happens, like you said, especially in that sandwich generation, because there's a lot of us there. I'm not too far removed from that. And I've had guests who have come on my show and have talked about their experience with that and helping with their parents. And then, you know, it's not just that. It's also a matter of people's health as well. Mm-hmm. We're not living as long. There are, you know, deaths that are happening, you know, suddenly people are not taking care of their health. And next thing you know, they're out of here, you know, and it's just like, okay, wait a minute. We have to start, you know, being a little bit more proactive in that whole planning cycle. And like I said, you touched on so many aspects there that I would have never even considered. And it's just because, like you said, we don't know what we don't know. We don't know. And if we're not educated on it and we're not aware of the process, just like you said, I'm happy that you have your certification, that you are the first African-American to do that, because it does bring a different perspective.
Yes.
Because, you know, there are a lot of things that we make assumptions on that just are not the reality.
Right.
And unless we have platforms like this where we have conversations about it, we don't know. And so we have to say, wait a minute, because, you know, you have some people who will go on things like, I hate to drop a name, but like certain companies that say, oh, you know, just do a living will, you know, and I'm sure there's a difference between the living will and having a regular will. I have no idea, but there are so many different moving parts to that. Where does one start? Where do you even conversation?
And that last question is a good one, because many people with doctors, right? From when you were a baby, even before you were able to talk, your parents took you to the doctor's office, needed some vaccine or get checked. So we know, if nothing else, I go to the doctor's office, I come in, I get my paperwork, sign my little intake, sit there in the waiting room. Then they take me into the other room, and I wait into the smaller room and wait for the, you know, say, people know what the process is and how to get help medically.
Right.
Or they don't know, because a lot of them aren't, you know, have never been to a lawyer. So sometimes people call and they think, all right, say it's 2 p.m. I'm just gonna call this lawyer and get someone on the phone, and they're just gonna answer my question. Like, no, this is not a legal hotline. This is a firm. You got to make an appointment. I'm gonna need some information from you that's gonna be, you know, not only, because, you know, health wise, what do they usually ask? Did you have diabetes, like high blood pressure? Like, you know,
family history,
When you come to me, I'm gonna be like, look, what's your bank account? What do you own? People get real secretive and protective, right? Because you're asking some very personal questions, and it's about money. And in our community in particular, we don't have as much money as other communities. Right. So sometimes there's, you know, hurt and frustration with that. Mm-hmm. I don't have as much as I want, or I'm struggling.
Right.
So when you start asking questions, people give you resistance. Or if they have money, they suspect of why you're asking these questions. Like, you, what are you trying to? You want my bank information, right? You want to know what I, oh, right? So that barrier is really strong. But I try to tell people that's what we need to make sure nothing's missed, right? Because what I talked about, beneficiary designation, if I don't ask you something and you leave off that you had a bank account with, you know, $300,000 in it.
Right.
And I didn't ask you about that, and that wound up having an old beneficiary designation on it or none at all. That can cause a tremendous nightmare for someone later when they're trying to, you know, and especially they already lost you. So they're already stressed. And then this money is not available to them because I didn't know about it, or, you know, you didn't want me to pry. Right. So we have to explain this is necessary for us to get to the end of the road and arrive at the place where we need to arrive at. And that's cultural. There's some cultural things in that. And other things too, socially, you know, a lot of our rules of how things pass is based on marriage. There's a real benefit to being married, right? And so we have a lot of culture where there's a lot of single and, you know, people. So we don't have some of those benefits and things. And I've heard people say to me, well, I don't need to be married because we, you know, treat each other like, you know, we're in love and we, that's my boo and wifey. And that doesn't, from a legal standpoint, you know, that doesn't give you rights and financial benefits and other things that come along
and
with
we've seen being that happen.
Formerly married, right? So we try to talk to them about all these different things.
Yeah. And that's a lot. Like you said, there are a lot of stigmas that happen. A lot of people, like you said, get real secretive. Or just like you said, that's just my boo. You know, we're just hanging out. And you know, I'm sure that, you know, as you're gathering information, you know, sometimes it's hard because they don't know what questions to ask, you know, just like if you don't, like I said, you don't know what you don't know. So you don't know what to ask, or, you know, you just assume, you know, you're just in my business. No, you're not in their business. You're trying to, you know, put pieces together. And sometimes you bring things to people's remembrance. They may not, you know, you had divorced her a long time ago. She got on my nerves, but you forgot you put her on that paper when you were in love, but you forgot about that. You know, especially if you've been on a job for a long time, or you left the job and you had that person as a beneficiary on that job, but you're still getting residual money from that. People don't remember all of those things.
Yeah.
And so, just like you said, it's important to, you know, to actually sit down and you know, like you said, it's not a hotline call. It's a sit down, make an appointment. Let's you know, go through all of this and figure things out. And then, like you said, especially with the you know, having a parent or having children that, you know, adult children that are living with you, how does all of that, you know, work? And what happens if that parent suddenly gets ill, or that family member suddenly gets ill, and now you've got to, you know, it's like, what do I do first? Do I do the elder care part first, then do my part? Because now I kind of know what's going to happen with them. So then I can kind of figure out. It's a whole lot. They just kind of, I feel overwhelmed talking about it. I'm like, that's a lot of information. So I can definitely see where, where the stress and the tension comes up, because some of them are in the mix of that already. And it's just like, okay, so I'm in it. So where do I start?
Right.
You know? So like you said, I guess it starts with that appointment and being able to, you know, come together and say, all right, this is the information that I need to have, and having our information together. Sometimes we can't even find our stuff. You know, or we have that loved one who is a hoarder and just has paperwork everywhere, and you don't even know.
Right.
You don't have enough of a relationship with your parent to know that, oh, they have this account and that account. All you know is that when you're a little low on your money, hey, mom, can you spot me? And they spot you, and you don't even ask, well, where are they getting it from, or where is it coming from? You just know it's coming.
Right.
But you don't really sit there and say, oh, they have this account and that account. And I know there's so much that we don't know about our loved one.
Exactly.
You know? And so, like, again, you want to try to make sure that you're establishing those things early on, so that way you don't wait until something happens. And then, you know, I'm sure it's a process in doing all of that. As they're getting all that paperwork together, how long does the process take for them to, you know, before, when they come to you, bring you all that information, what does that timeline look like?
Well, each attorney is going to be different, which is another thing. You know, I think the doctors are much more standardized because they're much more turnkey because they get, you know, compensated by Medicare and Medicaid. Right. So they have like a process of how to get you in. With me, I have a self-scheduler on my website. So I have a paralegal that you can call and help you schedule, but you can basically go on right now, even if you're watching this podcast, and go to my website and make an appointment, right? If they make the appointment, they'll set it up for whatever time and date is available. So some people set it up, you know, in this week, some people might set it up a few weeks from now, if it makes it easier. Whenever you set it up, there'll be a confirmation email that says, you know, please fill out the intake. They'll do that on their own time. The intake will have questions about family. So you said people don't know what to ask. I try to guide them and say, these are the things. If you have this, fill it out. If you have that, fill it out. Even with that protectiveness, some people will not, they'll submit the intake and it might be only family information and no assets. Right. And I'll come back and say, nope, sorry, you got to give me some assets. And they'll come back with, okay, I have a bank account. No dollar amount. Just kind of like, you know, letting you know, like, I'm not going to give you all this, right? Right? So it's like you fight and pulling teeth, right? So, you know, depending on the situations and circumstances, I'll kind of try to work with someone. Sometimes you just realize, you know what? I'm just going to have to let you go somewhere else because you're not going to open up and it's not going to work out, right? But if they do have, you know, the information to me, I will review it before we meet. We'll meet, usually we'll meet half an hour to an hour, depending on how much I see and how the conversation goes. And from there, that first meeting is just really say, can I help you? Do you want me to help you? Right. So it's both ways. Right. So sometimes you don't, you know, vibe with me, or sometimes I don't vibe with you, or the circumstances of what we're trying to do doesn't make sense.
Right.
So if we coordinate and say, yes, we both want to go forward, then I will quote a price. And then that, you know, usually it's a flat fee for me for the most part. So I don't try to, you know, customize my pricing for each person comes in because I want to kind of like a la carte. Right. Yeah. It's like, it's like, hey, pick it. If you want this, it's what it is. It's the same for you. It's the same for everyone who came up in here. So and I usually give them a price list beforehand just to kind of give them an idea of what the ranges are, but they won't know on the list which thing they need until we actually speak. But I want them to know, look, I'm not making this up just in the moment. Right. And then also too, if there's too much for them and they know beforehand, look, this is outside of my range, and they can say, you know what, I'm not going to go down this route because it's more than I had out of plan to pay for this at this time. And that's fine too, right? So if we get started, I usually will ask for some information. Who do you want to be your, you know, beneficiaries, trustees, executor? If you have minor guardians, you want like all these different roles that you want to fix. And then I will do a draft. And that draft can, depending on how fast you get me the information, might be a couple of days for all those documents. And then from that point, I'll say, you know, usually I'll say, review it on your own and set up a follow-up meeting. Cause I don't want, a lot of times people will get lost in the documents. So I could kind of say, look, I'm giving you the documents so you can see it, but I want us to talk about it and we will review it in a review meeting. Like we're talking now, a lot of times on Zoom or in person, we can do it either way. If it's on Zoom, I pull up the documents and we just look at it together. And they ask questions and say, I don't understand this. So let's look at it. And so I kind of make sure they at least understand what their documents say. And then they can change it. Oh, I don't want that. Or, you know, I like that. Let's do that. Once they agree everything's good, then we print it and then we sign it. And then we try to figure out, depending on what they did, a lot, if they did a trust, for example, then you have to do the next step of putting stuff inside of it. So that kind of on there, that's usually, for the most part, them getting instructions on what to do on their own. They might need to go update the beneficiary form with a bank or IRA or something like that. So that's stuff that I'm not going to really be involved with, because for me to charge them for that, they can usually call on the phone and do that themselves, go online in the account and do that themselves.
But they have the option of doing that if they ask for you assist with that part, or
if they want to pay for it, but by then they usually don't want to pay for it. But yeah, certain things they have to, for example, a lot of people
want to. But you'll at least counsel them, like, on.
Yeah, I'll give them a funding document that says, if this type of document, this is what you do, here's instructions of what to do. Nice. Deeds, for the most part, I don't like non-attorneys doing the deeds. Some people like to, they feel that, you know, maybe they have a real estate background, they know what to do. Right. I've seen those people have some bad mistakes, but, mm-hmm. you know, if they want to do their deeds, I don't actually do the deeds anymore. I hand it over to the real estate attorney. So if I do a trust for someone, now you just say, hey, you have a house you want to put into the trust, go see the attorney over here. That attorney will help you put the house into the trust. If they have a business they want to put into the trust, I can help them with the assignment of the LLC and share. So certain things I will help them do after the trust is done. And some things I'll say, you need to go to another attorney. Or some things I say, you need to do yourself, because it's just cost efficient for you to just go, you know, log into your online account and ask them for the form or do whatever, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, and that's wonderful, because at least, you know, you're guiding them. It's not like they're out there, you know, just floundering, not knowing what to do, you know. And once that document is created, is that something, then do you have to go to court? Do you have to file it anywhere? Mm-hmm. Or is it just something that they keep, you know? Yeah, some that's people just say, you know, do you put it in under your bed, under the mattress? Right.
File cabinet? That's a question. So certain documents, depends on that particular document and how it's used, what you do with it. So certain documents are lifetime documents. Power of attorney for finances. If I become incapacitated, Alzheimer's, I have a brain injury, stroke, I can't do something, I might need someone else to do something for me. That document is a little dangerous, though, because over finances. So that means I'm giving you access to my bank accounts, my retirement, all that. So a lot of times I tell people, you might want to not give that one out, right? You might want to hold on to that in someplace safe until someone needs it. And the person that needs it, whether it's your spouse, they'll know what it is. If it's, you know, sister, mother, whatever, this is where you can find that if you need it.
Right.
Advanced directive for healthcare, also a lifetime document. If something happens to me, I'm in a hospital, I can't make a decision, they can't communicate with me, I'll probably want to have an agent, okay? So just you mentioned a living will earlier. People get this confused all the time because they hear this term living will.
Right.
A living will is very different from a last will and testament. Right. A last will and testament is when you pass away and we have to go to probate court and after death decide what to do with your property. Living will, they use that term living will, which I can't stand, is where you basically say whether you want to have your life extended in certain situations.
Right.
Persistent vegetative state, terminal illness.
Like a DNR, do not resuscitate. Right.
So we don't actually, in the state of Georgia, do living wills. You can't actually do a living will.
Mm.
You have to do an advanced directive, which is a combination of two healthcare documents. So in North Carolina, my other state, you can do a separate living will and a separate healthcare power of attorney. In Georgia, you can't. You have to do an advanced directive. So people sometimes pull stuff off the internet and they come and say, I have a living will. And I'm like, no, you don't if you're in Georgia, because you can't do one. So they don't.
Wow.
You know, that's the danger of people doing things on their own. They think that they have saved some money and they have the answer. You're not protected, because you have to know.
Well, I sure enough was told I could do a living will and have a living will. And I live right here in Georgia.
And that's something that you should give away to your primary physician. Because if something happens to you, you want that to be somewhere, right? If you have a health problem, someone knows, right, where's that? You go to the hospital, you know, do you have a, you know, advanced directive? They'll probably ask you that the first thing when you get there. So give it to your, I would say that's something that you give to your agent now. Unlike finance, it's not going to hurt you. Your power of attorney for finances can hurt you. I can go take, if you gave me POA on Thursday, I can go on Friday and drain your account, because you gave me power of attorney for your finances. If you gave me advanced directive, I can't do anything with it. Because if you have the ability to talk to the doctors, they're not going to use the advanced directive. They're only going to use it when they can't talk to you. So it's a lot safer for you to give that out. Wills are only going to be filed when you pass away. So you don't need to do anything with it, maybe, hopefully, for many years, right? Because we're not, none of us trying to pass away soon, right? So hopefully you just put that thing in the safe deposit box or a safe, and no one will look for that for a long time. You don't need to file it in anticipation of one day needing it. I would say there's some safekeeping with courts. I don't do that. Just keep it on your person. Trust, they're designed to be secret. That's why we do trust. That's why wealthy people who do trust. They don't want you know, you've seen celebrities pass away. Oh, they left such and such in their estate and they left such and such. Wills are public information. So everyone who passed away, I can go down to the courthouse and say, hey, I want to see Kim's will and let me know. Why do I need to know what you left in your estate to someone? So that's why people do trust, because they want that secrecy. So you don't file trust anywhere purposely, because we're trying to do a trust for secrecy.
Right. Gotcha. Oh my goodness. See, there are so many different levels to this that I think so many people don't understand. And just like you said, there are certain things in certain states. That's why it's important to have an attorney like yourself, you know, that specializes in estate planning, so that way you're not doing those things. You just can't Google search it and start putting things together, because it clearly there's far more to it than we think, than meets the eye. And just like you said, you know, I'd be like, well, you know, where do I file this? How do I store this? How do I keep this? You mentioned agents. Now, that's a person who is a person who will be kind of, let me see. Let me make sure I'm asking the right question. Would an agent typically be somebody who at a later time would be your power of attorney? Not necessarily.
Well, a power of attorney is the document and appoints an agent who basically, I would tell you, think of an agent as you duplicating yourself in another person and saying, here's all the rights that I have, and giving them to someone else.
Gotcha.
Right. But when you're an agent, the people who are agents have to understand they are what's called a fiduciary. So some people in the financial world know that term. But basically, when you're responsible for someone else, you have a duty to look out for their best interest, right? So if I am managing someone's money, I can't go dipping into their money like it's mine, because it's not mine, it's theirs. Even though they put me in charge of it, it's not for me, it's for them. So when you have these roles that we're talking about, executor over their estate, you're going to report to the court. Here's all the things that this person has. There's a fiduciary duty to the court to be honest, to manage the property, follow the will. The will says, I give it out to all my children, and you don't happen not to like one of the kids, you can't just do your own thing. You got to follow the documents, right? So trust, the name itself of the document tells you what it is. It's trust. It's outside of the court. It's secret. So there's a lot of trust that you will follow the document as I wrote it. So you have to pick these people, these fiduciaries, very well. And that's part of the process that we talk to people about. Don't just default to, I'm going to put my kids in these positions. Your kids may be financially irresponsible. You may have kids that don't get along. You know, people don't really think about that. Your kids get along a lot of times because you're here, right? So they've been battling with each other all their lives, but you've been the buffer that kept them in check. Nobody fussed when mom and dad was there. But now that you're going, now all of a sudden, like, all right,
loves all.
I never liked you. You got on my nerve for 50 years. Now we're going to go our separate ways. Give me my money, right? And now it's on.
Right.
And a thing I want to make sure I leave here in saying, a lot of what we see is problems where maybe multiple children live in different parts, and the one child who's close may be the one that's helper, right? I'm helping mom because I'm living close. Or maybe mom even lives with that child. That child maybe is the first power of attorney. Maybe they are the agent on the power of attorney on the bank account, or what we make people make a mistake. If I have a bank account that's in my name, if I'm dad, if my daughter, I put her on my bank account, I can do it one of two ways. I can make her power of attorney, where it's still 100% my account. She just has access to it to pay my bills. But if I pass away, it goes through my estate or my beneficiary designation. Where I see people make the mistake is they'll say, okay, I'm going to put my child on my account, and they make it a joint account. So they may have 3-4 kids, put one child that took care of them on the account as the joint owner. They pass away. That bank says, all right, this is all yours, one child. And that one child's like, well, mom, dad left it to me, or I helped the most. I should have right. this because y'all weren't doing squat. And right. I was, you know, I was sitting there changing, you know,
right.
diapers and mess right. and whatever. Right. And I'm getting my right. compensation. And that's right. where we see a lot of problems. Right. That's what we have to talk to people about, because they do little subtle things right. in a way that causes a lot of harm because they don't ask questions. And right. they just go and figure, I could do this real quick. Or they see how much the bill is, right? Oh, I can save some money right. if I just do it myself. It's going right. to cause some problems.
Yeah. And that's an excellent point that you make, because you do see a lot of that. Everything always goes south, so to speak, quote unquote, you know, when that person passes. And then just like you said, people get real entitled. This is mine. I was here. You weren't there. You know, you didn't do anything. And I mean, it really becomes an issue of, you know, how do we advocate? How do we advocate for ourselves? How do we advocate for our, you know, our loved ones? And then I also think about those who don't have siblings. I mean, don't have brothers and sisters, or who don't have, you know, children.
Mm-hmm.
How do they go about the process
yeah.
of estate planning? Because who are they if they don't have anybody to leave it to? How does that work?
That's a tremendous problem for two reasons. The person who needs someone in case they become incapacitated, they don't have that family or friend to say, okay, I feel comfortable with this person being in charge of my assets, right? I don't have any, I might have moved to a new city, right? I worked in New York all my life. I moved down south, but I don't know anybody here in Atlanta. And something happens to me, who do I have to do these roles? That's a mm-hmm. big problem. Then they sometimes ask me, hey, do you, you know, you're my attorney, you can do it. I'm like, uh-uh.
Oh, wow.
I will, wow. I might do when you pass away. It sounds sad to say, but I might do when you pass away. Because when you pass away, this particular rules of, you know, I'm doing a, for a short period of time and saying, here's how I go petition the court, gather your assets, follow your will, divide, right? But power of attorney, that's much more involved. That's day to day, I got to check on you, make sure, you know, you right. pay your bills, make sure if you need to go to the doctor, if you, you know, if I have a health care, like there's too much for me to be involved in some my clients' lives right. that way. So right. we have a lot of problems when someone doesn't have someone close to them to do that. And then when they pass away, then of course, if I don't have, you know, a spouse and children, then the question is, okay, where do you want it to go? Some people say charity. People,
right.
you know, just say, I'm just going to try to use it up as much as I can while I'm alive. And that's part of the wow. helpful process, right? Because if you get sick, some people say, okay, I'll just spend all the money I save for my lifetime on myself and my care. And then when I pass, so be it. That's right. the question that we have to ask people, because sometimes people have children and say, I have an IRA, $500,000, and bank accounts, my goal might be to stay at home for the rest of my life and pass away at home. The children might be, wait a minute, if that happens, mom's going to be spending now $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 a month of my inheritance. So right. now they're like, no, we need to do something to save that. So, you know, we have to, as attorneys, identify to the family, we're here for the client, which is the older person. They're the right. one that's most vulnerable. Right. So that's who our client is. So sometimes we have to tell the client, look, you have to recognize you're in a conflict of interest situation with your children. And you may not think about it. Like, so you want to take care of yourself first, make sure you're okay.
Right.
By doing that, that means you might dissipate your estate, which is in opposition of what they're looking. They're going to sit there like, oh, every month it went down 10,000, right? And right. they're like, we want mom and dad to be okay.
Right.
But not, you know, at the expense of our future wow. financial
right, right,
situation,
right. Wow.
which I was counting on in my head that entire time. Right. I was counting on that on house that. Or I was counting on that bank account or that IRA yes. coming to me. And now you're right. sitting here with the attorney planning to stay at home and get all this care and not seeing this balance go down. Right.
right.
So that's a right. big issue.
It sounds like it's a lot of conversation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's something and that's something that I think is so critical, because we don't communicate sometimes as effectively as we should. But this you know, estate planning and elder care, all of those things seem like they require sitting down and having that come to Jesus conversation. Exactly. And just saying, hey, this is what we need to do. This is what needs to happen. And sooner rather than later, because, you know, if we get to that point, like you said, where people are, you know, experiencing dementia and things like that, you know, you may say one thing today and then tomorrow be something totally different. And so with that, and I know we're wrapping things up, but with that, is once you establish your, you know, once you, you know, do your estate planning, you know, and you go back and change things as you go along, is it something, you know, is there a certain statute of limitations on it, or is there something, you know, how does that work?
Well, the first part is, and I want to tell people, a lot of problem we have is people come too late to even get started, right? So people will call and say, we're talking this whole conversation about taking care of the older parent, right? So this child will call, I need to get power of attorney over my mom or dad. That in and of itself is an incorrect statement. You can't get power of attorney over anyone. They have to give it to you. And if you have waited to the point where they can no longer give it, then you can't get it. Then now we have to go to the court system, guardianship, conservatorship, and that might be a situation where the court in its supervision may not allow you to do certain things. You can't make a will for someone as a guardian or conservator. So you will lose the opportunity for them to even do a will. You may have the opportunity to do a trust, but that requires court approval. So if you ask the court, I would like to create a trust for my parent in a conservatorship, they may say no. And just have the money in the conservatorship say no. Spend it down for their care until it gets to zero. And that's the reality of waiting too long. So if you do get a chance to get in and actually get these things done, they can do the initial documents, but they're the ones, again, who are the client. So if they make it a certain way, and then down the road, the family says, other family says, oh, we need this to be something such and out. The mom or dad has to be the one to change it. You can't go and change it unless they gave you a power of attorney that had particular powers that said, I authorize you to be able to change my trust. So that's part of what we talk to people about. Don't go just printing something off the internet trying to save money, because it's not only about the document. It has to have certain language and powers that give you flexibility later. So mom might have made that document when she was 70. Now she's 83 and things need to change, but you didn't want to go to the attorney back when she was 70 to save some money, and you printed something on the internet, you didn't have the right powers. She didn't have the right powers. So now when you come, when she's 83 and you say, hey, I'm trying to do this here, I have POA, I look at him like, I'm sorry, you don't. You don't have the right powers to do the things that you're trying to do. So that's why we try to talk to people, say, it's not really saving you money to not talk to. And I personally do free consultations. Some others don't, but even then it might not be too much to have their first consultation. I will tell you, it's usually worth it just to find out the things that you may need to do. And if you go off on your own, all right, you're okay with this part you might need to have some help with and figure out, you know, how to navigate some things.
Wow. Wow. All right. So look, I'm like, whoo, that's a lot. It's a lot, but just like you said, it just goes to show how important it is. And some of the pitfalls and things that can happen that if you're not knowledgeable about it, if you don't know the questions to ask, if you wait too long, you know, it can really cause some, you know, damage down the road, you know, not just for yourself, but for that aging loved one, you know, for your children, those who are your beneficiaries. It definitely warrants the conversation. So with that being said, tell people how they can get in contact with you, because, you know, it's something that you need to do more now than later.
No, thank you. So my website, you see it behind me, most of it is Estate Plan ESQ, estateplanesq.com. And then my phone number is 855-5-ELDERLAW. All right, so 855-5-ELDERLAW. And that'll put you in contact with my office.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, because like I said, this is a lot. It's a lot, and people need to know, what estate planning is all about, and that it really is. It is advocating for yourself while you can, and that's something that we're learning, some of us the hard way. Like I said, especially we're seeing a lot of it. Like I said, with those who are, like you said, have that sandwich effect where they're caught in the middle too. And then, like you said, if you're not taking care of your health, you may wind up passing before
Oh, yeah.
your elderly, family member does. And then what happens? And so it's all about being proactive. It's all about figuring out what you can do in the now instead of waiting until something happens, because nothing is promised. And we're seeing a lot of that. We're seeing people passing at alarming rates and at ages that are unexpected. And just like you said, it doesn't matter how small an amount you have, it's worth the conversation, at least asking and seeing where you are. And I love that, it's all about the consult and being able to tell people these are the steps that you can take. So, there's nothing wrong with at least making a consult, making a call, getting getting involved in having that appointment done, so that way you at least know where you're at, so that way you can start the process of knowing where you're going before something happens. So, I thank you so much, Keith,
Thank
for
you.
this important
Absolutely.
conversation, because it is something that is not going to go away. And it's something that we need to do. Like you said, so many people with starting their own businesses, and you're hearing a whole bunch about entrepreneurship and LLCs and things like that. And then you hear people saying, don't put things in your name, put things in a trust and
Oh,
do things
that's
like
we
that.
even go down that route, putting things in other
Right.
people's names. Oof.
Right. It's a rabbit hole. It's a whole rabbit
Yes.
hole. It'll just have to come back. That's all. Look, you've been here before, you're back, and you can always come back to talk more about, the importance of being able to, estate plan and what it means and what the process is. So again, I thank you so much.
No,
Like I
thank
said, if you
you.
want to get in contact with him, the information will be in the description for the show. What is estate plan? What is estate plan?
EST.
ESQ.com. Okay, and the number is 855-5-ELDER-LAW. And so, like I said, that'll be in the description. And again, Keith, thank you so much for
No, thank
being
you.
with
No,
me
can't thank you
again.
enough.
You are
Just having you
always
back is
welcome
awesome.
back.
And I'm
Yes,
so
you
proud of you for you're still going out, strong. It's amazing. So
are.
keep it
Thank you
up.
so much. Thank you so much. Like I said, you're part of the How Now family, so you come back anytime you want,
All
and
right.
keep people abreast of the things that are going on in the now.
Sounds
Okay.
good.
All
Thank
right,
you.
and that will do it, all you guys, for this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. And until we see you the next time, I say peace.